time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
NFL playoff time, and of course, all eyes on Taylor Swift because she showed up at the Chiefs game this past weekend, and she actually sat next to Caitlin Clark. Like, what are they talking about the whole time?
You know what? This is going to sound funny, Anna. I kind of missed the excitement of Taylor Swift at the games.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a regular football fan. I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm not a Chiefs hater. To me, it's kind of like, you know, that story's been going for a long time. But if the Chiefs are on, one of the parts about it that I'm like, okay, Patrick Mahomes will probably do something crazy. And let's pan to Taylor Swift and see what's going on there.
So we were out to dinner on Saturday night and I let him do it. You can judge me as a wife for this, but he sets up his iPhone on the corner of the table and plays the game while we're having dinner. And you want to know what I figured? There's so many men out there that wouldn't go out to dinner because the game was on, right?
Completely, right. So is it you and the family? It's just the two of you?
It's us, the family, and another family. So it's two families, yeah. Both husbands have their iPhones propped facing them watching the game and then commentating to each other about it.
They're glued to it, right?
Anyway.
These were big games.
They're big games. Yeah, and he does it a lot. You know, he's a big Giants fan, so he does it for all the Giants games. He'll never say to us, I'm not coming out because the game is on.
Right.
But he will do that, and I accept that, and it's fine.
Okay.
But I kept looking over, and every time I looked over, because I was sitting next to him, I would see Taylor Swift. And they kept panning to her, and I was like, that's a lot of Taylor time today. But I guess it's probably because she hasn't been around all that much because she wrapped up the tour. And the last thing I heard was she wore a $22,000 Chanel outfit, and she sat next to Caitlin Clark, and they were talking the whole time.
I mean, she looks very nice. You know, perception is everything, because when I kept watching the game, I was like, how come they're not showing a lot of Taylor Swift, right? I'm a big Caitlin Clark fan as well, so it was fun to see them there together. When you think about going to work, though, you know, Travis Kelce had a big game, and, you know, they always say playoff Travis is, you know, here. Like, when you think about the playoffs, a big time, like, it's huge pressure. How do you feel about your boyfriend, girlfriend, partner coming to work and watching you do what you do?
I think it's interesting because, remember, Travis went to a lot of Taylor's concerts. Mm-hmm. He was there at a lot of shows supporting her and cheering her on.
Sure.
But if your spouse were to sit next to you and just watch you do your job, would that drive you crazy? And my husband, even though he has no background in radio broadcasting, he does not do public speaking well. He criticizes me all the time.
He gives you input.
Oh, yeah. He'll send me, he's like, why didn't you cover this today? And I'd be like, what? Like, you do your job and I'll do my job. But I have to say, when my kids are with me at a work event or my husband is with me at a work event, I do better. I work harder.
Right?
I want them to be proud of me, and having them there is important to me. So I think I would actually not hate it if my husband watched me do my job every day.
Do you have as much fun, or are you just sharp?
I have more fun when they're there.
Is that right?
Yeah, I do, because it's exciting, you know, for me to be able to share my passion with them.
Mm-hmm.
How about if your wife was watching you broadcast live every day? Would you like that?
You know what? I'm great with that. It's when her and I are doing the show together. You know, from time to time, when you were out on maternity leave, she came in for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, but also hyper stressful in certain ways, too. I'm okay with it, especially at this stage of my career. On the other hand, like, I also get it why people get embarrassed in front of other people, right? Or whatever. Like, you know, you mentioned the concerts. You know, he's there, but so are 70,000 other people.
My husband works from home on certain days.
Yeah.
I remember I was a public speaking professor. And when I listen to him conduct meetings, afterwards, I'll come in to air check him to be like, listen, let's talk about the way you deliver this. And I can guarantee you my husband would rather I never watch him do his job.
Yeah. Yeah. Or never be home. Right.
Yesterday was Inauguration Day. And a word you may have heard a lot throughout the day, pardon. A lot of pardons happened. Former President Biden had a round of last-minute pardons, including any future charges that would be brought against Dr. Fauci or Liz Cheney or his family members.
I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, you could just say, people, no matter what happens in the future, you're good.
Yeah.
Is that really a thing that we can do?
Oh, it's so funny. Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin, even my daughter, who's going to be 16, she was like, Mommy, what did Dr. Fauci do that he had to be pardoned? I go, I'm not sure.
Right.
I had to go yep. online to figure out what the heck was happening, you know?
I was like, I've never even heard of President Biden's brother. I was like, I have no idea who this individual is, but I guess he's good now.
Yeah, but President Trump also, he pardoned over 1,500 of the January 6th rioters, with the first two being released from prison last night. That was a big surprise. They knew they were going to do a lot. I mean, it was just a broad everybody.
No, he said he was going to do everybody. He was like, yeah, you're all out.
I don't know.
Yeah, and he wants them all out like today.
Okay.
So good luck with that.
So whether or not you agree with any of this, one thing that is fascinating is the whole idea of pardoning. Like, you literally get to give somebody a get out of jail free, or maybe if one day you might have to go to jail, you still don't have to go.
Right, don't have to go.
Yes.
Yeah, don't have to go.
So I was thinking about it. Now, like, if you could give a pardon to anyone in your life that has wronged you, you give them a pardon, who would that be? Because I have strong opinions on this.
Okay. Mm.
Julie, you seem to have like a, you know it in your eyes who you're giving a pardon to.
Yeah. I live in an apartment, so the people who live above me, I would definitely give a pardon because every night they have either a stampede or a small track practice that runs upstairs. So regardless of them keeping me awake, they're good.
Do they have small children?
Really nice of you.
Well, no, I sent an email. Apparently they don't, but I want to know who's up there.
Right.
Like, they're just running laps in their kitchen.
Right, yeah. It's like, what is going on?
Very merciful of you.
Yeah.
It's good.
Justin, you could give anybody a pardon in your life. Who would it be?
Well, I'm not going to go that extreme. I'm going to pardon Netflix.
Oh, for what?
For canceling Glow a couple years back.
Oh.
I am still hurt over that. I am a huge Alison Brie guy, and that broke my heart. They left it sort of on a cliffhanger, and I was waiting for more Glow, and it never came, and I've, up till this point, never forgiven Netflix.
Oh, fascinating.
I didn't watch it. Did anybody else watch it, Glow?
Amazing.
That was amazing. The female wrestling one,
correct.
Right?
Female wrestling. Yeah. I mean, it was well regarded.
Yes.
It was outstanding. Alison Brie is amazing.
But why'd they cancel it then? Because I'm guessing, like...
Well, I think they were filming the last season that they actually aired during COVID, and then after that, et cetera, et cetera. The whole production got on hiatus and shut down, and then eventually they just said... Yeah, we give up. We're not going to come back.
Okay.
That's funny. That's actually a good one to pardon.
Yeah,
Raven, how about you?
I'm going to pardon the FedEx guy. For some reason, this guy always backs up into my driveway. I mean, I live on a cul-de-sac. You could go to the end of the road. Everybody else comes and delivers their packages and then goes off. But the FedEx guy always backs into my driveway. And I guess the dogs really, really, really hate that individual. So I guess I'll give him a pardon.
Too, the whole bit.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know why. Like, just drive your car regular. What are you doing?
Unlike all of you, I wouldn't pardon anybody. Because
no.
when I...
Of course not. No mercy.
Listen, no mercy at all. Because once you have wronged me, and I have deemed that you have wronged me, I will never forgive you.
I'm so scared right now.
No, it's true. It's 100% a fact. 100%. And as terrible as it sounds, like, for a minute I was thinking about my high school chemistry teacher that gave me a D. I'm like, well, I didn't really do well. And then I'm like, no, I tried hard in that class. Forget her. She's not getting a pardon either. Nobody.
Not everybody is meant to be a chemist. It's okay.
So true.
Yeah.
Once I write your name in that blank space, it's there forever. That's all it comes down to.
Wow.
The golden age of America begins right now. I will very simply put America first. For American citizens, January 20th, 2025 is Liberation Day.
President Trump was sworn in as our 47th president yesterday, and the day itself was very busy.
You know, I have to say, here's the thing. I know the inauguration is always on. I know there are balls that go on throughout the day, but it seemed like every channel, everything, all day and night was all the inauguration.
Well, right, because there was three inauguration balls. There was the swearing in. There was the parade. It's a long day. I keep thinking, like, you must be so tired. I mean, he's 78 years old. But anyway, one of the biggest debates of the day, thanks to the internet, was whether Melania was dressed like the Hamburglar or the Pizza Hut logo.
Mm.
So she wore a hat, and she's only the second first lady to wear a hat at inauguration since Nancy Reagan. And it was one of those really wide-brimmed hats, almost like a boater hat, and it covered so much of her face that when Trump went in to kiss her, he couldn't get to her cheek. So he had to do a blow kiss on the side.
It's like a perimeter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was staring at it, and I was like, that, it, like, covered her eyes.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask my mom thought she was the most beautiful woman she's ever seen in her life.
My wife liked the dress, but couldn't understand the hat inside the building.
The hat
she was like,
weird.
What is happening with the hat?
It was like
why
Pharrell.
Why is it all pulled down?
Remember when Pharrell wore that giant hat?
Yeah, and I'm not a big Pharrell fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably because of the hat, mostly. That and that Happy song.
All right. So, I mean, Happy's one of, regarded as one of the greatest songs of
move
all time.
On.
Anyway, they took a vote online.
Greatest songs of all time.
Happiest
I'm not going to backtrack.
So they voted online on whether she looked like the Pizza Hut logo or the Hamburglar. And if you see a side-by-side of the Hamburglar with Melania, it is 100% dead on. And 82% of people voted she looked like the Hamburglar.
Yeah. I mean, the hat inside, again, a little bit weird, but not the strangest outfit that I saw at the inauguration. That would belong to Lauren Sanchez.
Yeah, well, it's because she wore a bra. She just wore a bra under a blazer as if she was going to the club.
When you're rich like that, man, you do whatever you want, I guess.
Anyway, Carrie Underwood, she was one of the people that was set to perform, and she faced a technical glitch during the inauguration. So she waited about 2 minutes for the music track to start playing, but it wasn't coming on. They couldn't get the music on. So she looked over, and she's like, should I just sing it? I can just sing it. Like a true professional.
She killed it.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber.
She like asked everybody to sing with her and listen to this.
And crown my good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
It certainly helps
so
to
beautiful.
Have the Marine choir gosh, there too. That certainly helped.
But it was such a nice moment of unity because everybody in there together and everyone is singing that together. It was nice, but you know.
I thought it was amazing, actually, that it happened that way.
Right. You know who did not have the same luck? Billy Ray Cyrus, when he performed at the Liberty Ball.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. Y'all can put your hands together now. I like that. If you encourage about, keep going. They told me to kill as much time as possible, so.
Why would you possibly say that? Why would you say that? They're like, we need you to kill as much time as possible. So he gets up there and he sings terribly, and then.
Does anybody know the words to Achy Breaky Heart?
Oh, my gosh.
I'll try a little bit. Let's see what happens. Hey, is my guitar still on? I think they cut me off.
Yeah, they did, Billy Ray. They cut you off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a tough night for him. Tough night.
Oh, no.
Do you have a shady job? Like a job where people don't really respect what you do? There's a list of the most respected and least ethical careers, and I would argue that it's not 100% accurate.
You know, here's respected versus ethical. I don't know if it's the same thing to me, but explain.
So the top five jobs that are most respected in the United States.
Okay.
Number five is teachers. Yes, that is a respected profession.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Belongs on the list.
Firefighters. You know, here's the thing. Well, we'll get to firefighters. 100% a respected career.
I mean, I was just going to say what? I mean, what is there actually to discuss? Any first responder, of course, belongs on that list.
Uh-huh. Except for when it comes to dating. But we're going to get to that coming up in a little bit. Farmers, number three.
Okay.
People love farmers.
Yeah, they do.
Farmers are good.
No farms, no food.
Exactly. Number two, most respected career, scientists. Yes, they're moving us forward. They're helping us cure diseases. Absolutely. And you have to be smart.
Are they always?
Well, I mean, sometimes they...
Sometimes they're curing, like, really stupid stuff or, figuring out other things. But, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You could be a scientist for good and a scientist for bad also. Watch a Bond movie.
And the number one most respected career is doctor. Now, okay. I'm actually contemplating firing one of my doctors right now.
I'm not sure that's number one.
That's number one on this list.
But listen, it's important, obviously, and it's a great job, and there are plenty of great doctors out there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is 100% accurate.
Wish we had more.
But there
try to get an appointment.
Some jobs that are super shady, too, and they came out with this list of the top five shadiest jobs, the professions, right?
Okay.
Number five, advertising professionals. It says they have no ethics and they're dishonest. They'll do whatever they have to say to sell something.
That's scams. I mean, I'm sorry. Listen, I know people in advertising and they're awesome and I enjoy them, but I also don't have to do business deals with them.
I have two very close friends of mine who are in advertising, so I heard that and it hurt my heart because they're the most honest people I know. I don't know.
Okay.
Number four, and this one shouldn't come as a surprise, insurance salespeople.
Yeah.
It says that insurance salespeople are all about, you know, mitigating risk. But they'll go anyway to try to save the company money.
Right. They'll sell you all the coverage in the world, but when you go to file a claim, you know, it's their job, obviously, to give you less.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number three, senators, which goes hand in hand with number two, members of Congress. They say the senators are liars and members of Congress are lazy and they just don't work. They just don't show up to do the stuff they're supposed to do.
I think that we're all in agreement upon that nowadays.
Here's the thing is you could disagree or agree on all of these. This is just by poll because I don't believe that all senators and members of Congress
are lazy. Give me number
one.
Who cares?
It's so cliche, number one, for the most unethical, shadiest job. Car salespeople. I guess because there's been such a rise in lemon law horror stories and they continue to generate the stereotype that they're these smooth talking car salesmen. They'll say anything that they have to say to get you to part with your cash. They stalk you via text and email. And the minute they get your information, it's like they crawl into your skin and they don't let go.
I think the most revealing thing when you look at this list is that every one of these people, you feel like you're not getting as much as you could for your money. Right. Mm. Like advertising is looking to, you know, rip you off in some people's views. Right. Insurance. Oh, they don't want to give me my money when I need my money. Senators and congressmen, I'm paying them, but they're not doing anything when they go there. And hence, number one, car salesperson. You just want somebody to give you a car for cheaper than anybody else.
But when we were talking earlier about jobs that are very ethical and very well respected and mm-hmm. firefighters was there. When we were in college, we used to have a rule. No, we don't date cops. We don't date firefighters. And what my sorority sisters and I found without fail is that they were the ones that were cheating on us.
Dating versus respected in other aspects.
I guess
not
so.
Not the same.
You can decide. Sometimes when you meet somebody new and you have interest in them and then you ask them what they do for a living, you either have one of these reactions. Oh, or oh.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You're either into it or you're like, that is not a great job to date, you know?
Yeah, certain occupations, they just don't lend themselves to trust, right? Got to have trust.
What's an occupation that's really hard to date? Andrea?
Actually, I think I have two. A garbage man and a security guard.
Okay, let's start with garbage man.
Mm-hmm. Well, number one, because he's gonna bring the stench home with him. I'm not here for that. Yeah. I can't. I don't do smells well. So definitely a garbage man. Yeah.
Let's talk about what occupations have the worst smell, because that's definitely a thing. My dad has had two of them that are so distinct.
Is that right? I thought the garbage man was beyond that at this point. I know you got to clean out the back of the truck when the run is over, but I thought that part was over, to tell you the truth. So I'm gonna go with a chef,
yeah,
and depending on the restaurant, because it doesn't come out.
It doesn't even matter the restaurant. If you work in a restaurant setting, that smell stays on
it's
you.
It's on you. Like, you can go on vacation. You have to buy new clothes. And by day three, maybe you're going to start to smell normal.
It's true. My dad comes in from the restaurant at the end of the night, and even growing up working in the restaurants, it has a smell.
Yeah.
And the other thing was my dad was an oil man for a while. He owned an oil company.
And he smelled like oil.
Oil delivery. Always smelled like oil. And I liked that smell.
Right.
You know, some people like the smell of gas or the smell of oil.
He was probably glowing when he got out of the car every day. I don't think that was good for him or you as a child. What's the second one? So you can't bring the stench home. What's the other one?
Security guard.
Okay. Why security guard?
Because I need a man to protect me. And security, they only tote a flashlight. And that's not securing anything. So I'm in need for protection. And if you can't protect me with anything but a flashlight, you are not the one for me.
You know what? My stepfather used to say when he'd work shifts as security that I'll knock you out with a flashlight. he would say, you know I'm tough because all I've got is a flashlight. Well, shouts to our security guards and armed security guards, but they're not the man for you. I thought she was going to be like, because you're not a cop.
All right.
Okay.
All right. How about you, Kyle? What's a profession that's really difficult to date?
I got to go to psychologists because I feel like with a psychologist, I feel like they'll just overanalyze everything that I say. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I feel like I would just have to be thinking every single time I speak. And I feel like over time, that could be just kind of a lot for me. You know, I'm very like an in the moment person. I like to, you know, speak speak kind of freely.
Yeah.
But like, if I just say something, you know, I feel like it can just get misinterpreted and then blown all the way out of proportion.
You know what it is, Anna? He wants to be able to make mistakes and not feel like he was testifying after, because that person is going to bring up every facet of that to them. I love therapists. I believe in therapy. Big believer. I would never date a psych major. Don't do it. It's tough. It's, yeah. Unless you need free psychology and therapy. You know, but other than that, don't do it.
I've never dated a psychologist or psychiatrist, but I have friends that are psychologists.
Yeah.
And whenever we're talking about something and they're quiet, I immediately get defensive. I'm like, what? Why?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What am I saying? What's wrong with me?
They're taking it all in.
Yes.
Right. And you're like, you know what? I knew you in 11th grade and you were a mess, just like the rest of us. So you're not the Pope now, you know? Yeah, I totally know.
What do you think is the most difficult occupation to date? You know, you meet somebody, you like them, and then you ask what they do for a living, and you're like, oh, because it's not going to be easy when they do that job.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably one of those things that changes at different seasons of your lifetime, Anna. Right now, people that I don't trust, solar guys, anybody that basically knocks on my door, door-to-door solicitors, which is, you know, it's kind of unfair. That used to be the way that you sold everything. That was the way that you met people. That's the way you got the word out. Now, if you show up at my door, I'm like, who are you, stranger?
So you're not going to date the person selling you a vacuum at your door?
No.
Do they sell vacuums anymore at the door?
They do, actually. Those Kirby ones, they're like 4Gs.
What?
That's the thing. I know a guy who just bought one. Like, you definitely got suckered, man.
He should definitely not marry that woman.
I'm telling you.
She must be beautiful. What's the profession that's the hardest to date? Jack.
I've got to go with a veterinarian.
Why is that?
Veterinarians are like doctors, and doctors are pretty tough people to date. So the worst part about it is, though, they treat you like pets, if you want the truth. So instead of not talking to you like a person, it's even worse. So
I never thought about it that way.
I guess, right? I mean, truth is I talk to pets nicer than I talk to most human beings. So for me, that scenario would work out. But I understand for other people, it would not be the desired thing.
I would think to date a veterinarian would be difficult because every time they would have to jump out to help an animal.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So if you saw a bird in distress, you'd have to pull over the car and they would have to take care of it. I don't actually know if that's true.
I mean, not just that, is that I feel like every time that you're at home and you're like, okay, no more, right? No more pets. They're coming home with something else.
They always have pets.
Because they're always going to help.
My veterinarian, who I love, when I first brought Lila in, Lila, my rescue, is a high anxiety dog. She's better now that she's a little bit older, but she was really tough in the beginning with her anxiety. She was scared of everything, shaking in the cover. I still can't get her into the vet. I have to physically carry her in. She's 55 pounds. But anyway, she looked at me and she said, if you decide you don't want her, I'll take her, because she'll eventually be the best dog ever, because you never have to do anything. You don't have to walk her. You don't have to let her do
She doesn't want to do anything. She just sits there.
So I asked her how many dogs she had. She says she has 6 dogs.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
She was right. Lila is an easy dog. She's hard in public because she's afraid.
Yeah.
But home on her stomping ground,
she's good.
Oh, she's an easy dog. We don't walk her. We don't do anything. We just let her out. She comes in. She sits on the floor. That's about it.
Hey, Jen, tell us, what's a tough occupation to date?
I would say it would be being in the entertainment industry, whether that's an actor or a writer, because there's oftentimes no steady stream of income and the gigs are inconsistent. And then on top of that, there's been currently strikes in the unions.
Yeah, I listen, anything that has fluctuating money coming in, that's going to be hard, right? Because that's one of the biggest fights in any relationship. But the other part of that is, too, is if you're in entertainment, when there is work, sometimes it's the long hours or the glitzy, you know, events or whatever, where, you know, all of a sudden it's like you've got a fan or this, that. Like, there's a lot of aspects to that can be tough.
How about the emotional aspect when you can't get a job and you haven't been working, and then all of a sudden you go into your depression that you're not good enough, and now that's what you're dating. That's what you're coming home to every single day.
Right.
Or married to.
Or the other one's having great success and you're having limited success.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of problems.
Yep. Does anybody else have the world's dumbest and most embarrassing condition? No, just me? I can't believe it's just me.
I'm pretty sure that you're probably just being dramatic.
This past weekend, my primary doctor had scheduled me to get blood work. So I show up first thing Saturday morning. I fasted. I did all the things I was supposed to do to prepare. I walk in, and the first thing they ask is for a urine sample.
Yep.
Now, for normal people, this is not an issue. But like I said earlier, I have the world's dumbest condition. Now I have to explain to the woman who's checking me in that I have this and I can't just pee in a cup.
Shy bladder, also known as paruresis, is a condition where a person is afraid to use the bathroom when others are nearby. As a result, they experience significant anxiety.
I can't pee on demand.
Wait a minute. Nearby? This is not a parole hearing. It's not like they're going to be in the stall with you or the door is open. I mean, you go into a private room.
They may also have difficulty urinating on demand for random drug tests for school, work, or athletics.
Or blood work to make sure you're healthy and everything is okay. And you want to know what, Raven? The reason why I'm bringing this up is because maybe you have it too.
An estimated 20 million people in the United States are affected by shy bladder.
Shy bladder.
You know that's not me. I mean, I go to the bathroom like 4 times during the show.
Yeah, oh, cool. You're so cool.
And I always tell you, you should go. I could go to the bathroom with everybody in the room right now.
I could go 10 hours without going to the bathroom. It doesn't even faze me. I have an issue where I just can't go on command, and I get all the anxiety that goes along with it. Now, Raven, I know you don't understand this because you don't have it.
Right.
But as I'm explaining the condition to the woman who's entering my insurance info, in comes the nurse to get me, and now I have to explain it to her. That lady rolled her eyes at me. She rolled her eyes at me.
Really?
Yes. And so let me explain to you. When I gave birth to my older daughter after a C-section, you have 24 hours to pee on your own, right?
Okay. What happens after that?
They have to recatheter you, Raven.
Oh, that's not comfortable.
And that's exactly what happened to me. And they had to bring in a second nurse because they couldn't believe it because I broke the hospital record. They had to get a second bag. Because all I do is chug water. And it's when the lady said to me, can't you just drink some water and go to the bathroom? I was like, if you thought it was that easy, don't you think I would just do that?
This is your response. This whole conversation, by the way, are you standing at the welcome window?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, also.
Wow.
So they had to recatheter me and then they worked with me. And finally, I was able to go on myself for the C-section.
Right. But that's after you had your baby.
Yeah. The second time, the nurses were ready for me. They had peppermint ready for me to go. They taught me all the tricks because they knew that this was a real issue I have. It's a real mental block that a lot of people have.
Yes.
I've had colonoscopies delayed because I couldn't pee on demand and they make you do it before you go to make sure you're not pregnant. Surgeries delayed because I couldn't do it. And I was so mad at my doctor on Saturday morning because she knows this is an issue and she didn't give me the heads up because otherwise I would have held my to pee till I got there from that morning.
For like 3 days.
Yes.
If necessary.
Right.
Right.
But I did learn if you have this and you're one of the 20 million Americans that have this too. I know it's embarrassing, but I have a trick. I sing happy birthday out loud on the toilet. And sometimes it'll help you go. I don't know why it works.
Is it a timing thing?
No.
Is it sometimes some reason it's just a little bit of noise?
Happy birthday to you.
I mean, don't do it all the way through right now. If you pee in that chair.
Yeah, I know. That's
we have a limited amount of chairs here.
So that's my dumb thing. And if you had it too, you're not alone. It's called Shy Bladder, and there's a support group for us. I don't know where that support group is, but if anybody wants to create one with me, I'm available.
I'm sure it's on the internet.
Okay.
But thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
Inauguration Day was yesterday. President Trump took office again, and he was right at it, signing all kinds of executive orders. But he did something really different, Raven.
What's that?
He threw the pens that he used to sign the executive orders into the crowd at the inaugural parade.
I mean, there was a lot of executive orders, so there was a lot of pens to go ahead and toss out there.
Right.
I mean, if not, they would have just been lined up on the table, right? You need a new pen every time.
I think they were Sharpies, too. They were thick
quality
pens. Yeah, quality Sharpies. And all I kept thinking is if you showed up and you caught one of these pens,
yeah,
bingo, you just won like the lottery, because you know they're going to be worth, I mean, depending on how this whole thing shakes out, probably going to be worth a whole lot of cash one day, right?
I mean, move them today if you want on eBay. There's got to be a few of them listed, I'm guessing.
Well, I looked, and there was none listed yet, but I was curious. I'm like, if I go on eBay right now, and I look for presidential artifacts, what would come up and how much would it be worth?
Okay,
up first, antique private second presidential inaugural Woodrow Wilson handkerchief. This was a handkerchief that Woodrow Wilson actually held.
The president himself.
Yes.
Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson.
No,
Woodrow.
Woodrow.
Woodrow Wilson.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Handkerchiefs weird me out, man. I just think that they're covered in stuff, right?
Yeah, it's not.
Like, they got DNA on them, right?
Right.
Like, unless you're an evil scientist and you want to, like, DNA clone somebody, bring them back from the dead like a woolly mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much use for that.
Okay, how much do you think it costs, Raven?
$200. $25.
$175,260.43.
I definitely would not have guessed that.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you have something like that that's worth that much money, why are you selling it on eBay with an end date in 6 days? Isn't that seem weird?
The bills are due.
Yeah.
Something going on right there at home. It's time to strike.
How about this Abraham Lincoln original relic fabric of Red Room at the White House?
Original relic fabric of Red Room. So, I mean, you've got a swath of fabric, mm-hmm, fabric from the old room. Now I can't speak. $50.
$9.
$9. Now that's
starting bid.
That's a bargain, actually. That's not bad.
How do you know this stuff is real versus fake? Like, you have to give it to Sotheby's or one of the other big, mm-hmm, auction houses, you know?
Or somebody has to get you on video stealing it from the Lincoln bedroom.
I guess so. Also, while Trump was signing all his new orders in the Oval Office, he was asked a very important question from the press.
Can you confirm that you have added back the Diet Coke button?
Can you confirm that you've added back the Diet Coke button? Now, remember, in the Oval Office, he had a little wooden box, and when he opened it, he would push a button, and the butlers would know whether or not to bring them immediately a Diet Coke.
I mean, that's so much better than a button that just starts World War III.
Because it's there, and this is how he responded.
Can you confirm that you have added back the Diet Coke button?
First of all, I just got here. So my people came in. They have extraordinary decorator sense, right? Let me just see some of the pictures. That's a good one.
Withdrawing from the World Health Organization, sir.
Ooh, that's a big one.
So he doesn't want to answer the question. He doesn't want to answer the Diet Coke button question. And instead, he's signing the executive order. And he's like, what's this one?
Withdrawing from the World Health Organization, sir.
Ooh, that's a big one.
He just muses at the size of that executive order that he's signing. Somebody get me a Diet Coke. I'm thirsty with all this work.
Withdrawing from the World Health Organization. Yep, that'll get me right past this Diet Coke question. Last week, 468 people convened in West Palm Beach. They dressed as dinosaurs, and they broke a Guinness World Record for the most people dressed as dinosaurs in the world. And I thought to myself, that's dumb.
Right.
And I could also do that easily and break that record any day of the week. I just need 469 of my friends.
Yeah, I got a dinosaur costume, so you need 468 exactly again.
Yeah. Producer Julie, Justin, Raven, I don't know if you're aware of this, but actually, Raven, you're well aware because you were here.
Yeah.
But we tried
to
break a Guinness World Record a few years ago, and we did it. The problem is that we didn't do it correctly because we were young and stupid, and we didn't know that there was all these rules involved when you did this.
I don't know what the current record was when we attempted it, but we accomplished duct taping Anna to the window, and she stayed there, suspended only by duct tape for, I don't know, it was 90 seconds?
Yeah, we broke the record by 15 seconds.
Oh,
yeah, until I collapsed to the ground, suspended from the window. Yeah. So this time, we're going to do it right. And there's rules on how to break a Guinness World Record. And these are what we have to do to make this go down.
Well, first of all, you need to go onto our website and send your idea through to us.
Yeah, I think we can go to a website and send an idea. Seems easy enough, right?
As long as we can decipher what it is that he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Leprechaun.
That idea then goes to our records team, who will look at it, check it, and make sure that it meets our internal criteria.
I don't think we should make fun of their accents.
Yeah, you know what? That was harsh. I'd pull that back, as a matter of fact. I enjoy the accent. I have to listen to it slower speed.
Okay. So, all right. So we have to do it. They have to review it. They review it. Then what?
If it does, then we'll write up guidelines for it, rules and regulations that you'll need to follow, as well as listing all of the evidence requirements that you'll need, and then send them off to you.
All right. So we get the information. They say, cool. Yeah, you guys can do this. And then we do it. That seems easy enough, right? Okay.
Did he say guidelines?
Okay. There's guidelines. Yeah. So like where it has to be, all those things get sent to us in a nice little package. So I went on the website. And turns out they get over 1,000 applications a week from around the world. The wait time right now is 20 weeks unless we apply for priority application process. Producer Julie, make a note. Apply for
priority application. How much does that cost?
Stamps. Put that in the budget.
Is that like an extra $10 for shipping and handling?
Probably.
Put it in there.
But I looked at the common ones that are turned away. So I want to make sure. Now, coming up next, we're going to pitch our ideas for what the things are. But these were the ones that get rejected all the time. Alcohol consumption. Guinness World Records no longer considers applications for records involving rapid alcohol consumption.
I could see how that would go south.
Yesterday,
Julie's out.
We were talking about this yesterday on the air. Chef Plum immediately texted me and says, most shots of bourbon at once. I go, what? No.
I would be done.
Yeah, no. I'd make it through one, maybe. Two, heaviest pets. They don't care if your pets are fat anymore. That's they don't care about that. Blinking. They will no longer give you a Guinness World Record if you could either blink the most in 1 minute or not blink in a minute.
They're not impressed.
Scary if you could be really, like, if you're really good at that, it looks like a seizure. Wow. I mean, you're pretty quick at it.
They no longer want to look at your freckles, moles, or birthmarks. They said that no longer qualifies as a Guinness World Record.
But if it's shaped like Mickey Mouse, then call Disney.
Absolutely. They'll take a picture and post it on their website. Yep. They won't. And Raven, you're going to like this. They don't care about improv jamming sessions. They don't want any bands that do jam sessions. Oh, who can do the longest jam session?
Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're just going to take the bass line for a walk. Kill me. Get me out of here.
I think Dave Matthews already won that one anyway. And they don't care about small fruits, vegetables, or plants, only if they're big. So if you have a real tiny banana, sorry, out of luck. Nobody cares. All right. So taking all this into consideration, we're going to go back. We're going to review each of our ideas, and then we're going to pitch them to you, the audience, coming up next, and then you'll select what Guinness World Record we're going to break. It all comes down to this. You will decide what Guinness World Record we're going to attempt to break, and we need your help.
We can do this, people.
We tried once before, and sadly, we didn't go through the proper channels to get it approved, and they disqualified us, and we were duct taped to a wall, and I would believe I was duct taped there for about 90 seconds or so.
It was a long time. Yeah. I have to say this, and I venture to say that I think that you're actually a little bit lighter now. So if we needed a redo on that, we could try that again.
Thank you for weight checking me, but good. Let's continue on. Yeah. Justin, Julie, Raven, each of us have come up with a pitch. It'll be up to the audience to decide which one we do. Who would like to go first? Justin?
Sure. During my research, I came across the fastest time to drink 500 milliliters of water, which is 16.907 ounces. The rules are, the current record, first of all, is 2.35 seconds. The rules are you must use a clear glass and you can't have any spillage.
Justin, who's going to do this?
He's volunteering.
I am astonished.
I mean, it's clearly him.
I'm astonished that the current record is that long.
You think you can break that?
I might go sub 1 second on this.
16 ounces. You believe that you can ingest 16 ounces of water in less than 60 in 1 second.
I don't know if HR is going to let you.
Between one and two anyway.
He goes for the gulps.
Yeah, there is kind of a water thing. There is a water issue, believe it or not, in radio. Because there's been issues before. Yes.
There's been issues
before. Not with us.
No.
Not involving us, nor this company.
All right.
But you know what I mean? 16 ounces, maybe. I don't know. Can you get water intoxication from 16? We'll have to look into that. The lawyers will check up on that.
Yeah.
Julie, pitch.
Mine is the most socks in 30 seconds. The record right now is 28 socks in 30 seconds, which is like almost a sock a second. But I think if we lay them out right and we just keep going, we could do it.
Wait a minute. We have to put on 28 socks?
No. You have to get the most you can. You have to get 29 to beat it.
So, but we just put the socks on our feet.
Yeah.
So one of us has to succeed at it.
Yeah.
And we just have to keep doing it. Oh, okay. Most socks.
Question. 29 socks, 1 foot.
Is it 1 foot or is that 2 feet?
1 foot.
1 foot.
Oh, so you got to get the right size socks. We got to really think about it. We need a mathematician, I think.
Sock number 29.
We're going to lay that out.
Number 29 is going to be a Christmas stocking.
Architecture of socks to figure it out. We're going to need some plans on this one.
Here's my idea.
Okay.
Currently, as of 2019, the record is held by a junior high school in Japan, but I think we can beat it. The most people performing the Running Man dance move simultaneously right now is 660 people. I think we can get more than 660 people together and perform the Running Man.
Don't have anything happening on a Tuesday or whatever, right? Like, just meet us.
No, I think we could do it.
What
you don't
is
think
it?
We could do it? What is the Running Man? Good news, yeah. Julie. Yeah. I can show you right now.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, if you want to get fancy.
Freak it out.
Oh, my God.
I can do that. You know my moves.
Do you want to see 661 people do that? You do.
I think I did. I just did.
I want to see 660 people do the Carlton.
After that presentation, I feel sad to say that mine was just, you know, eating 9 Reese's peanut butter cups in less than a minute. But
what?
Yours was very exciting.
All right. So now you have to vote. Julie's going to put this up on our Instagram and on Raven. And then you vote which one do you think we should do. And then we're going to figure out how to make it happen.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Everyday couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Anna and Raven. Dean and Brianna. Brianna, let's start with you. What's going on?
Dean's friend John, who he's known forever, according to the two of them, wants to come and live with us for a month in our apartment, and absolutely no.
Why? Just because you don't want a semi-stranger living in your house, or?
No, I mean, I know him, and I used to think of him as a good guy, but I've become very good friends with his girlfriend, Jamie, and he cheated on her. And I just don't feel like helping out this person who created this situation because, you know, he was, like, playing around. That's not okay with me. Cheating is a deal breaker for me, and I don't want her to think that I'm supporting him in any way.
Dean, what's your side of this?
My side is that I've been tighter with John for way longer. I've known him forever. I'm not saying it's cool that he cheated on her, but, like, the dude's been staying with his mom for the last, like, however long it's been. Like, he needs some freedom. He needs to get out. He's been my closest friend since, you know, we were kids. And, you know, that's just the way it is. He's going to stay with us.
No, I don't. I mean, he can stay with his mother. This is his own fault. And we don't need to take him in and, you know, heal his wounds when he's really hurt Jamie. And she's a great girl and he's an idiot. And I really don't want him around. I'm kind of disgusted by him.
Yeah, this is the tricky thing. I totally get what you're saying there. I mean, obviously, the behavior is not great. And you have the right to let whoever you want into your house as you want to, Brianna. But, you know, on the other hand, you don't really expect Dean to no longer be friends with his oldest friend from his entire life because he cheated on a girl that you grew to like, right? Because, I mean, I get what you're saying right now. You don't want him to move into your house, but you're like, I don't want to know him anymore. And that's not realistic, is it?
Oh, well, I've got strong feelings about it. Yeah. I mean,
but do you think you can tell Dean that, you know, he can't be friends with his friend anymore? I mean,
he should rethink his friends then. I mean, like, I won't tell him to not be friends with John, but okay. I don't want John living with me.
Okay, well, that's really my question, because if you're asking him not to be civil or cordial or anything like that.
Civil and cordial, yes. Right.
And we're still friends. So the next thing to me is like, now you got a friend who's just asking not to be homeless. He's not going to be dating from your house or anything like that, right?
Is there a start and end date? Yeah, it's not like he's coming over and every night we're going to, like, have shots and celebrate him cheating on his Jamie. We're not going to be celebrating the fact, but he just needs a place to stay. And, you know, he's my boy.
He's got his mom's place. I'm sorry that he's back at his mother's and he doesn't like
you. You've met his mom. He can't stay at his mom. I mean...
All right, well, let's see what the audience has to say, because maybe they agree with you, Brianna. He made his bed, let him lie in it. Let him figure out where to live. It's not going to be your house. But maybe they see Dean's side, too. He's a longtime friend. He made a mistake. Doesn't mean you leave him out on the street. What's the big deal? You have an extra bedroom. He stays there for a month. He finds a new place to live. Stop being a baby. Sometimes these things happen.
The moral question to me is interesting, but the truth is that as a married guy, I'd never let anybody live in my house again. I tried that before, and it's a recipe for disaster.
It's so messy. It's messy. So Dean and Brianna, they had friends that were a couple. The guy cheated on the girlfriend. She kicked him out. He has come to them and is really good friends with Dean. They've been friends for years and says, can I sleep on your couch? I can't stay with my mom anymore. And Dean's like, yeah, right. Like, you know, 1 month to find a place to live. Like, no big deal. But Brianna very much disagrees.
Listen, this is Dean's lifelong friend. They've known each other since elementary school. The girlfriend, it's a girlfriend that Brianna came to be friends with. But it's somebody that they knew just over the last couple of years. It's not somebody that they've known their entire life. Dean simply says, listen, I'm not endorsing what he did. I'm not saying that it's cool. I'm just trying to help out my friend here who tells me that he can't stand living with his mom right now.
Well, Brianna says you made your bed, lie in it, right? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, it's LaToya. I'm on the husband's side. People do make mistakes, and it's your friend, and you don't. The wife doesn't get to be judgy McJudger because her husband's friend made a mistake, and she's like, people make mistakes all the time. If she said that she felt uncomfortable with him in the house, that's a different story, but that's not the case. So I'm on the husband's side. You can help a friend out, and things are hard nowadays, so.
Yeah, thanks, Leah. There is an ounce of truth to that, because if one of my friends did something and ended a relationship and it was her fault,
sure,
and she knocked on my door, of course she could stay with me.
Of course she could.
Right.
She's your friend. She needs your help right now. But if it was one of Paul's friends doing it to one of your friends.
Yeah, that's where it gets tricky. But what do you think? 1-800-330.
It's not really all that tricky. It's just that you did it to fit what you wanted. Right.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Dean and Brianna have a couple friends. They have just broken up because he cheated on the girlfriend. Now he has come to them and say, can I stay on your couch? Can I just stay here for 1 month while I find a place to live? I cannot stay with my mom any longer. And Dean, who has been a lifelong friend of him, said, sure, why not? It's okay. Brianna disagrees.
Yeah, it's my oldest friend from grade school. He's asking me for a favor. I don't like that he did this in the relationship. Does it make the rest of my life more complicated? Yes. Did we like hanging out with the two of them together? Yes. But at the same time, I'm not here to be the moral police. I'm just giving him a place to hang his hat.
Brianna is the moral police. She's like, no. He cheated on our friend,
right,
and now she kicked him out, and now he has to live with his mom or figure out where to live, and it's not going to be our house. What do you think? Carol?
I am on the wife's or the girlfriend's side. I really didn't hear if they were married or not. However, I feel that the husband or the boyfriend should be respectful to who he's living with, which is her. And if she doesn't want him in the house, so be it. She does not have a right to tell him to end a friendship. But as far as him being in the house, no.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm totally on her side. I mean, it's their home together, so they should decide that together. And if he's living at mom's house, let him stay at mom's house.
Mm.
I agree. Hi, it's Ann Raven. Who's this?
Hello. My name's Alaska, and I think that the friend should definitely go live with the mom. I don't think that he should be living at his friend Dean's house. I don't think.
Anytime that you try and bring somebody into your home when you're in a relationship and then this other person is coming in and they're obviously going to be closer to one of you than the other, it's going to create complications, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Definitely.
Yeah, especially when you have resentment towards that person because they cheated on your friend and that's the reason why they're on your couch.
Even if you don't have resentments coming in, you're going to have them by the time it's over, right? Because they're going to pick one side or the other.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Brianna, our audience agreed with you. Dean, it's shady. Like, you can't have him stay at your house. He's got to find somewhere else to live.
I whatever. I mean, I guess maybe it was more women voting than I don't understand. The guy needs a place to stay. He's my oldest friend. Whatever. We said we'd agree with whatever they go with.
I think it's mostly, Dean, the fact is that you make your bed, you lie in it, right? I mean, I'm in here for the fight for you the whole time early on, but the truth is it's Bree's house, too, right? And she gets to decide who she wants in her house, and if it's going to bother her every time she looks at the guy, then maybe a little bit more time is necessary. Other than that, if you create a messy situation, if you need more money to get your apartment or whatever, better get that overtime. Better make it happen.
Yeah, I guess. Get back to work.
All right. Brianna, you have to be happy to hear this.
Absolutely. I'm very glad. I was getting ready to have to fight, and no, this is great. Sorry, John. Do better next time, you know? Figure it out, bud.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $5,600 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains now through the 27th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Okay, Stacey, you ready to play today?
I'm ready.
I may have made these too easy, so you have to get all five. Sounds good?
I hope so.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Stacey.
Okay.
$5,600.
Raven's walking out of here. That big old studio door is going to close and he's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, Christopher Walken doesn't have the equipment to stream TV, so he's been unable to watch all the episodes of his Apple TV Plus show about a biotech company. What show is that? That's time.
Severance.
It's too late. Number two, Taylor Swift sat next to Caitlin Clark during this weekend's Chiefs-Texans NFL playoff game. Caitlin Clark plays for what WNBA team? That's time. You got to be faster, Stacey. Number three, the internet said that the hat that the First Lady Melania wore at the inauguration yesterday made her look like the Hamburglar from McDonald's. What's the name of the big purple character that's part of the McDonald's franchise?
Gremlin.
Number four, Carrie Underwood ended up singing America the Beautiful a cappella at the inauguration because there was a technical glitch and no music played. She won what season of American Idol?
Season 8.
And number five, the Black Eyed Peas canceled their Las Vegas residency due to current circumstances, whatever that means. What female member of the group left the band in 2016?
Fergie.
All right, let me...
Fergie.
You!
Stacey got one.
Okay! All right, well, they were really, really, really tough. Let's go.
Number one, Christopher Walken doesn't have the equipment to stream TV, so he's been unable to watch all the episodes of his Apple TV Plus show about a biotech company.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, also on brand for Christopher Walken. What show is that?
Severance. He's in Severance.
Yes, you guys are tied. Number two, Taylor Swift sat next to Caitlin Clark during this weekend's Chiefs-Texans NFL playoff game. Caitlin Clark plays for what WNBA team?
She plays for the Fever.
Yes. Number three, the internet said that the hat First Lady Melania wore at the inauguration yesterday made her look like the Hamburglar from McDonald's. What's the name of the big purple character that's part of the McDonald's franchise?
Grimace.
Grimace is right. You said Gremlin, Stacey. Number four, Carrie Underwood ended up singing America the Beautiful a cappella at the inauguration when there was a technical glitch and no music played, and she sang it beautifully.
It was fantastic. I think they should have done it that way from the get-go. That'll be iconic forever now.
Right, and everybody Absolutely. Sang with her. It was gorgeous. She won what season of American Idol?
Oh, Carrie Underwood. Was that season 4?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah!
And number 5. Those are the most famous ones. Carrie Underwood won season 4. Kelly Clarkson won season 1. Number 5, the Black Eyed Peas canceled their Las Vegas residency due to current circumstances, whatever that means. I interpret that as nobody bought tickets. That would be my interpretation.
It could be.
What female member of the group left the band in 2016?
Fergie.
Fergie is right. The Black Eyed Peas are great, but who wants to go see the Black Eyed Peas without Fergie?
Is it without Fergie?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was back for the residency. Oh, yeah, no, nobody's going to that.
All right. Stacey, he beat you 5-1 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Fergie is crazy.
Thank you.
I love Fergie. Fergalicious.
She's crazy, though.
Her body stay vicious.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
enjoy that shirt. $5,700 tomorrow, Anna.